continue our studies. As you know, we are studying marriage and family. How we can improve, or how we can know our marriage as God has ordained. So, if you remind ourselves, we have last week we end about before you can even worship God and worship Him properly, we need to have the fruit of the Spirit, especially the love and what is called self-control. So we thank God that we have learned a little bit about how we can improve, because we need to have this fruit of the Spirit. It's not about choice. We need to, as a Christian, whilst we have swear that we will follow God, follow the footsteps of Christ, we need to bear this fruit of the Spirit. Today, we are going to continue our study of marriage and family. Our previous lesson, we have learned the biblical way for love. The biblical way for love, because I think my brother Gary helped us to teach us love, the kind of love. And he mentioned agape. Agape. Agape is the Bible way for love. Agape is the Bible way for love. And he taught us a lot of things, like characteristics of what? Agape love. Characteristics. He teaches the characteristics. One is, it is a love, what why? Volunteer. A love, agape love is a love which volunteers. And also is a love, love no matter how it will cost me, no matter how it will cost me, I have to do it. No matter if the person deserves it or not, I need to show that kind of love as Jesus has shown us. And you see, no matter if the other person deserves it, asks for or not. So agape love is a love God expects me and you to have. So in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40, I think we have even have used it as a sermon one time, that a scribe, a lawyer, went to Jesus and asked, which commandment is the greatest, most greatest? And he said, you should love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the first. And the second is what? To love your neighbor as yourself. And the marriage, what you are going to study, will fall under the second category. Because if you have opened I want us to read Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40. If you have read it, open it, please.
Then one of them, which was the lawyer, asked him the question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Thank you. So, yes, Jesus said, yes, that love is mentioned here is one we have already started studying out. But that just teaches. That love is what? Agape love. That one, we have to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. You see? And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you go a little bit, can you go a little bit so that
down?
Why
the first you get that together?
No, because you read up to 36. I think you go a little bit up, yeah.
But where from that four?
From 36 going, yeah.
That was I read.
Yeah, 37, yeah.
Just come to him. That I love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all the souls, and with all the mind.
Yeah, go.
This is the first and great commandment, and this is the one that comes to it. That shall love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah, go on.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Yeah, so Jesus said, on these two laws hang what prophet said, or what prophet is saying, or what the law is saying, is hang on these two. So the first thing is, we have to love God first. And then it's the God who is going to tell us how to what? To love our neighbor. So it is this and then this. God is going to tell us how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the second one can be applied to our wives and husbands. So, what is the meaning of agape? I think Bragari teaches the characteristics of the agape love. So what is the meaning of agape love? Because this is very important, and we need to understand it initially from the beginning. We need to know the meaning of agape. Agape love, what is the meaning of that? So if somebody can help me. And this is a Bible class. You don't mark either you are wrong or you are any question, any answer you give is accepted. So in the definition of agape love, because you know the characteristics. Characteristics is that either the person deserves it or not, you need to do it, as Jesus said.
Your pain is my pain.
Your pain is my pain. Good. It's very good because it sums up to your pain is my pain, which means you demonstrate what? The word agape. When I feel your pain is my pain. Yeah, if somebody can also ask something. Salaven, Bagari, everybody needs to participate in this particular lesson. Is it? Because
From the time agape, it's an open love.
Yeah, which means it is going to be fall under the characteristics of the agape. So the in definition of agape love is this: a disciplined commitment. A disciplined commitment towards the well-being of another. A disciplined commitment towards the well-being of another. That is the meaning of agape. A disciplined commitment towards the well-being of another. In this case, towards the well-being of one. Wife, and towards the world, you know what? My husband. A discipline, because it's described that it's not about saying, it is a discipline. If you have to make a commitment, if you are, because what you are going to study, marriage and the family, is what? A discipline commitment, because at least you have stand in front of the many people and say, this is the person which I am going to what? Love forever. And God is going to hold me and you accountable for us to fulfill what we have said. You didn't say it just like you want to achieve what you want. But you said it by what? We need to accompany with what? A discipline. A discipline and a commitment towards the well-being of another. And this is the meaning of agape. Agape love. And I think after the ending of our lesson, you explain it very well. What is discipline? What is commitment? You see? So, God so good, today we are going to begin our Bible class, which is the headline is the heartbeat of marriage. The heartbeat of marriage. That is our lesson. The heartbeat of marriage. One thing we have noticed that God could have what? Created Eve the same way he created Adam. If you want to go back sooner or later, you are going back to Genesis. God could have created Eve the same way he created Adam. But one way or the other, God didn't do that. And the question is, why? Why God choose not to create man, create the woman, the same way he created Adam? Because God wants Adam, even not God wants both of them to recognize or to learn something from it. And what we are going to learn is the heartbeat of marriage. The marriage of what we are going to discuss. We are going to discuss 6 points from this lesson. So our lesson, we are going to take our lesson on, let's take our Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 to 25. This is our text, which we are going to, our study is going to base upon. And we are going to what? Learn 6 points from this particular scripture or quotation, if I may. And that is going to help our marriage, because before our marriage can be as God wants it to be, we need to start from the beginning. So if somebody has opened there quickly, you can read Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. This is where
And Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. And out of the ground, the Lord brought forth every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was named thereof. And Adam gave name to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmate for him. 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh itself thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
Thank you, Lucky. Thank you for wonderful reading. It seems like this is not the first time of reading this particular verse. At least Genesis is a book of foundation, so at least a lot of people we have read this question. But today we are going to apart 6 points from this particular reading, what our brother has read for us. We are going to take 6 points from it. But these 6 points is almost the same. It looks like the same. It's like taking something like diamond and looking it from different one, different angles. It's almost it seems like it's saying the same thing, but we are going to look it from a different angle. So what as I've already said, but God wanted Adam and Eve to observe something. What God wants Adam and Eve to observe is the similarities and the deep need of the other. Because I asked that, why God didn't create Eve as he did to Adam? Because Adam, you know that he just picked the soil from the ground and then made Adam and breathed into him and he became a living soul. So the question is, why God didn't do it the same? Because God already knows, he's all knowing. He knows that Adam needs a wife, so why didn't create Eve immediately with them? So the answer is, God wants them, both Eve and Adam, to know their similarities. Because we have to learn that they are similarities and the deep need to each other. The God wants them to know the deep need for each other. They are similar to do similar things, but also have complementary roles like singing. So you will notice that these 6 points are basically the same. That's why I'm saying what 6 points we are going to learn from here is like taking the diamond and looking from a different angle. And it seems like maybe answers we are going to get will be just very similar, but it's the same thing. Those who came a little bit later, we are focusing on marriage and our family, and our test which we are going to use for the beginning of our lesson is taken from the Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 to 25. That is where we are going to focus on this thing. So we are going to take it one by one. In this passage, recognize God as the creator of marriage. As I've already said, before we begin everything, we have to notice that God is what? A creator of marriage. That is the beginning, something we have to keep in mind, that marriage is God, which God created him. God has created this marriage, although it is me and my wife who made that agreement, but it is God who was ordained this thing. So to follow his plan and pattern for marriage and fulfillment will be attained. Because if you go on to the marriage, we need to follow God's pattern. God's pattern as he has ordained in the marriage. So let's go back and we want to read Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, only verse 18, for us to learn something, our first point from there. Genesis chapter 18, which is chapter 2 verse 18.
The Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmate.
So, if you read something like this, you say, and the Lord said, and the Lord God said, it is not good for good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help me for him.
So what are you going to do?
What do you think you can learn from here? Because God created us, who are Adam, and he said it's not good for him to be alone. So what are you going to learn from here? Can somebody imagine or catch the idea what God wants to tell us? Because marriage is for everybody, as God has ordained. So what can you learn from this one? You see, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. What can you learn from this simple statement? Can you learn something from here?
That both have to exist together.
You see?
That both have to work together.
They both have to work together. Good. That's a very good idea. But I want one word which can cover what you have said.
And the advice on this page is just a loan.
Loneliness.
The advice on that page passing is just a loan.
Yeah.
So loneliness or companionship.
Companionship. Yeah, that is the way. That is the way we want to learn. God, what God is saying that companionship. God is teaching something what is called companionship. He said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. So what we can learn here is what? Companionship. Because it is not good. It's God who said that. Because this is the first time of God saying this. Because already we know the first time God started creating things. God creating earth, he created the firmament, he created animals, he created all these things. And he said what? It is good. God said it is good. But when God created Adam, the moment he finished creating Adam, what God said is what? It is not good. It is not good. That is the first time God is saying that. It is not good for man to be alone. So, which means God wants companionship. Adam needs companionship. So, the first lesson we can learn here is companionship. An initial observation, it is not good for man to be alone. First time, as I've already said, first time during creation week was this pronouncement made. Why it is not good for a man to be alone? Because companionship is intrinsic with a man. A man needs a woman who will support him. A man needs a woman who will what? Support him. So, God, in his first time of saying it is not good, it is not good for man to live alone. And what? He needs a companionship. A man needs a woman to support him. A man needs a woman to understand what? Him. A man needs a woman who will understand him. So companionship is very, very important when it comes about the God's scheme of doing things. Companionship. It's very, very important. The meaning of help meet, he said, I will make him a what? A help meet. The meaning of a help meet, if you read in the American American Standard Version, even the and there was something is companionship, helpmeet means answering to a person who will what? Answer him when he need something, when he need to ask something, he need somebody who will what? Answering him. He said 18, verse 8, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Helpmeet, that means a person who what? Answering to. Not that if anything I will say, my wife needs to answer. But I need a person, what is companion, I need somebody to what? To go with. Or to answer it. So companion, a person who answering to, comparable, capable, able to meet the needs of the other, whilst animals are not capable. You see, a man needs somebody who answering to, whilst animals and all these things, they are not qualified to do that. So immediately, from what God perspective, God creation, he pronounced that it is what? It is not good for man to be alone. That is the first thing we have to learn from here is companionship. Man needs somebody who will support him. Man needs a woman who will what? Support him. And it is very, very important. It is very important. They are designed to improve each other, which is what companionship does. They are there to what? To improve other. My wife need to she is there to be what? To improve me. She is the one who is going to tell me what is not good in my life. I also need to improve her. Let us take our Bible, what Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Brothers, let us be a little bit loud.
Iron sharpens
iron. Yeah.
So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
Yeah, that is the fact. God has put us together for what? For one to sharpen another. So he said, iron sharpens what? Iron. Brother, can you repeat it for me? Because I haven't. I need to. Proverbs 27, yeah.
Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
Thank you. He said, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So God put us together for what reason? We are companionship. For what reason? For what reason? That is why the Proverbs is telling us here. So that iron what? Sharpen the iron. And what? It is my responsibility to help my wife. It is my wife's responsibility what? To help me, sharpen me. You in our studies you learn a lot from this particular lesson because of manhood, especially our background, Africans, our background, all these things, our culture, how you value men more than women and all these things. Although it's not our fault, that is where we was born to. We are being grow up from that kind of culture and all these things. But if you become a Christian, this is our guide. Our guide is what? The Word of God. Our guide is the Bible. So is the Bible who is going to tell me what I have to live with my wife and my wife supposed to live with me. So today is the first time of studying our lesson. What I will pray everybody that although I know the transportation problem and all this thing, but me is not comfortable for me when I'm starting the lesson and about 2, 3, 5 people are here. Although maybe it is you are okay for that, but me as George particularly, it discouraged me. You see, it discouraged me. So I'm pleading. If you can, I'm not forcing anybody. I'm pleading if you can. Please, hear as quickly as possible so that you all can start at the right time at any time. Today, I will prefer to stop here. So, whatsoever what we have learned, we have learned that based on our scripture, our text from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25, this is where we are going to. Based on our studies, the name of our study is what? The heartbeat of marriage. The heartbeat of marriage. If you get these things right, if you get these 6 points which we are going to learn, if you get this right, at least God also will going to be what? Praise. And I think after this lesson, our marriage is going to be a successful one. If anybody has a contribution or something we can add to what so far we have learned. We have learned that based on our scripture on Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25, that is our text. And we say, we read in verse 18, we say, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him. We have learned our first lesson. This one, we say we are going to, Genesis chapter 2, 18 to 25, we are going to learn 6 points from here. Also, we have started one. One, the lesson we base on Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 only. 18, and we have learned that men need what? Companionship. Men need companionship. So this is the lesson we have this morning. If anybody has contribution or something you can add it, it's time for him to do so. If not, then yeah. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17.
Yeah. Yeah. So he said something about building, not building, sharpening. Right?
Sharpening, yeah. Iron sharpening, iron.
So I just want to, like, you know, think about what's happening now, like, with the modern day marriage.
Yeah.
I know you've given us an example of Genesis, where we have, like, the first marriage.
Yeah.
In the ancient times, like, of the world, basically. So if you go on social media, a lot of men and women have become, influencers, right? So most of them
are. What? I didn't get that one.
So a lot of people on social media, they give advice on marriage, right?
Yeah.
And I happen to like listen to a little. marriage and build a man. Mm-hmm. And after building the man cheats on her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the marriage ends. So I'd like to, like, with the idea of iron sharpening iron, do you think it is the duty of a woman to build a man?
Of course. Because this is, thank you for the question. And the question is, we are going to learn a lot from this one, this particular verse from chapter 2:18 to 25. We are going to learn some points here. And that one is going to be a foundation, like a heartbeat of our marriage. The marriage, marriage is going to be on this. And you said in social media, somebody, yes, it's good for you to maybe seek an advice for that. But the problem is, the social media and all these things, they are not based on their fact on the Bible. So what they teach, somebody, what they teach is, maybe they say half-truth. You see, you can, what they are saying something which is, some part are true, but some part are what? Not true. But the problem is, they are not saying what is true, but the Bible is the right source where we are supposed to go. As compared to marriage, if you want to find a good and successful marriage, I think this is the right way